Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Elaine Bowen, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and the Golden Tones Junior Choir, who has one wonderful song to share with you this morning. I light our chalice this morning in celebration of the sacred spark hidden in each and every human heart and glowing here in this beautiful community.
That's a hard act to follow. Each week when Melissa greets us, she says, "Wherever you have come from, we welcome you. Wherever you have come from and where I have come from, we have each traveled our individual life paths to be here, and divergent paths they are. Where do we come from? We come from hurt places, broken places, empty places, questioning and seeking places, places where we have been misunderstood, wronged, or simply did not fit. And here we are this morning in beloved community from these varied places, yet with one thing in common: courage. One day, each one of us had the courage to get up, leave home, drive or walk ourselves here, walk in the door, come up the stairs or the elevator, enter the sanctuary, find a seat, and stay to listen. We took a chance. We found the courage. But where did it come from? I can't answer for you, but for me, it came from an intense need to find a place to explore my spiritual self, to first find, then feed and grow my soul, a place where I am free to be me. And I am home. Come, let us worship together.
In 1945, on the outskirts of a little town called Nag Hammadi in Egypt, an Arab peasant made an astonishing discovery: ancient codices from at least the 3rd century of the Common Era, the originals likely written well before that. Texts which have come to be called the Gnostic Gospels. One of those texts is the Gospel of Thomas, and our reading for our wisdom words this morning come from that text. All of the texts in the Gnostic Gospels were from the earliest Christian communities who were trying to discover how to name the central teachings of their faith. And there was lots of disagreement about that amongst the communities. The folks who subscribed to the teachings in the Gnostic Gospels ultimately did not win in that struggle, and their teachings became secret teachings and teachings in marginal communities. And to preserve them, they kept them protected, which is how they ended up deep in the ground in Egypt. So this text comes from, as I said, the Gospel of Thomas, which describes the pathway of knowledge of God. And it's attributed to Jesus. This is a saying of Jesus: "If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you." We'll meditate on these words as we keep a few moments of silence. spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder. We gather together this morning to rest for a moment in this pause, this space, this gathering on a Sabbath morn. It's hard to find the time to rest. Our lives are so full. There are the constant chores and obligations. We juggle the balls and sometimes feel that we scarcely can keep them all in the air. Our lives are filled with the stress of fearing that the balls will come crashing down, filled with the stress of fear and worry. All of these concerns can crowd out the space to connect with our joy, to connect with our blessings, to recognize our blessings and lift up our gratitude. And so we come together this morning to rest for a moment in this pause, to create a little spaciousness in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. We breathe now in this spaciousness. For in this moment, there is nothing to do, no place we need to be, no task we must accomplish. Right now, we can simply be. Simply connect with ourselves. Connect with each other. Connect with that spirit of life which animates our lives. And recognize again the ways in which we have been blessed. The ways in which our lives are gifted. The ways in which the love we have to give is enough. May it be so, and amen.
Our reading today is by Mae Sarton, a poem, Now I Become Myself. Now I become myself. It's taken time. Many years and places, I have been dissolved and shaken, worn other people's faces, run madly as if time were there, terribly old, crying a warning, hurry, you will be dead before. What? Before you reach the morning? Or the end of the poem is clear? Or love safe in the walled city? Now to stand still, to be here, feel my own weight and density. The black shadow on the paper is my hand, the shadow of a word as thought shapes the shaper, falls heavy on the page, is heard. All fuses now, falls into place, from wish to action, word to silence, my work, my love, my time, my face, gathered into one intense gesture of growing like a plant. As slowly as the ripening fruit, fertile, detached, and always spent, falls but does not exhaust the root, so all the poem is, can give, grows in me to become the song made so and rooted by love. Now there is time, and time is young. Oh, in this single hour, I live all of myself and do not move. I, the pursued, who madly ran, stand still. Stand still and stop the sun.
I know this rose, I know this rose, I know my fears, I know my fears, I know my soul, I know my soul, I know this rose, I know this rose, I know this rose, I know this rose, I know my fear, I know my fear, I know my soul, I know this rose, I know this rose, I know this rose will open.
Well, that was so nice. Let's try it in four parts.
Hasidic tale about a beloved rabbi named Zusha. One day, Zusha appeared before his congregation, his eyes stained red with tears, and the people were concerned, and they approached him and said, "Zusha, what is the trouble?" And Zusha said, "This week I had a vision, and I learned the question that the angels will one day ask me about my life." And the people said, "Well, surely, you know, whatever the angels ask you, you have nothing to fear. You're humble, you're pious, you're scholarly, you're devoted. You've lived a good life. What's the question?" "Well, the angels will not ask me, why weren't you Moses leading your people out of slavery?" "Well, what will they ask you?" the people asked. And Zusha said, "Well, they will not ask me, why weren't you Joshua leading your people into the promised land?" "Okay, but what will the angels ask you?" the people asked. And Zusha said, "The angels will say there is only one thing that no power of heaven or earth could have prevented you from becoming. The angels will say to me, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? Now I become myself." The poet wrote those words in her eighth decade of life. "Now I become myself." People say, "Just be yourself. It sounds so breezy, so easy. Just be yourself." But how many of us have not worn other people's faces? How many of us have not worn masks as we journey to discover who it is exactly we are? I have a whole catalog of masks I can tell you about. I think about when I was 12, 13 years old. Your age? Well, when I was 12 or 13 years old, I decided that I was grown and that I should look like I was grown. And so I looked around and I thought, well, to be a grown young woman, I need to change how I look. And so I started wearing mini skirts and high heels to middle school, thick blue eyeshadow, bright pink blush, sprayed my hair up really high. That's what I thought that meant. And then I think a couple of years later, when I was 14 or so, 15, and I had some friends who started partying in ways that I wasn't really comfortable with. Has that ever happened to you? Not quite yet? See, it might. And here's the thing. I didn't know what to do about that. I didn't know how to be myself because I didn't want to lose my friends. So I wore a mask and did some things that I wasn't really comfortable with. And then I think about, and I've told you about this one, when I was about 20 and I was coming out as a lesbian and I thought, well, remember about the teased up hair and the blue eyeshadow? I thought, well, okay, there's another uniform I need to wear. And so I cut off all my hair, shorter than it is now, much shorter. And I got some combat boots and a whole bunch of flannel shirts. I wore them with skirts. That was my little nod. And then I think about when I arrived here and I picked up the preaching life in earnest. And I don't know if you know this, but my first year here was so hard. It was so hard. And every weekend I was in tears. I'm not kidding. Every weekend I was in tears, anguished, because I couldn't make a sermon sound the way it should sound to my ears. And I realized that's because I was trying to make my sermons sound like my minister's sermons. And I'm never going to preach like Victoria Stafford. The only person I can preach like is me. And it took a while to find my own voice. Now I become myself, the poet tells us, in her eighth decade. So, who are you? There's a wonderful spiritual exercise. Elaine has done this one, and I thought about asking her to do it with me, or I even thought about asking you to participate by, like, turning to your neighbor, but then I thought the introverts would freak out, so instead, I'll just tell you about it, and you can follow along. So the exercise goes like this. There's a questioner and a person who's speaking. So I'll complete it as though I'm having this conversation with myself, but you might fill in your own answers. So the questioner says, "Who are you?" And the person responding offers just a word or a phrase. "I'm a daughter." And the questioner replies with the response, "May God be merciful," and asks the question again, "Who are you?" And so I reply, "I am a sister. May God be merciful." "Who are you?" The question keeps coming. And so I might reply with all of my identities. "I'm a mother. I am a spouse. I'm an aunt. I'm a cousin. I'm a niece. May God be merciful." "Who are you?" The question keeps coming. I have more identities. "I'm a Unitarian Universalist. I'm a minister. I'm a participant in my community. May God be merciful." "Who are you?" "I'm a lesbian. I'm a feminist. I'm an advocate for justice. May God be merciful." "Who are you?" It gets harder. "I am a lover of the earth. I am a child of the universe. Who are you?" You see, the question very, very quickly leads to a soulful place. So last Sunday, I spoke with the children and youth about the work of growing a soul, and someone asked me afterwards what exactly I mean by that word, soul. And so after John Haynes Holmes, I might say when I say soul, I mean poetry and not theology. That's what John Haynes Holmes said about God. When I say God, I mean poetry and not theology. And so for me, when I say God, I'm using that word to stand for something that I can sense and understand just a little, but just a little, And so when I say God, I mean the spirit of life and love that surrounds our lives. I mean the spirit of mystery and wonder that illuminates our hearts. I mean the force of life that I feel in myself and I see in you and all around us. I mean that something which transforms us in ways that we cannot transform ourselves. God is a word that stands for so many things. That's what I mean. You might mean something else if you decide to use that word. And when I say soul, I mean something similar. I mean that soul stands for something that I can guess at, I have hints of, that I feel at times in myself and that I catch glimpses of at times in other people, but that I can't precisely define. And so by soul, I mean to have that word stand for something about the deepest parts of ourselves, the truest parts of ourselves, the hidden wholeness in each and every person that animates all of our lives. Who are you? When we're young, we naturally are ourselves. Little children do not wear any masks. They're totally uninhibited. They feel when they feel comfortable and safe. They just do whatever it is that occurs to them to do and say whatever it is that occurs to them to say. I was reminded of this recently when I was visiting my family just a few weeks ago in Arizona, and we took all the kids, 11 of them, to the zoo. And the 2.5-year-old saw a platform where you could climb up and look at the giraffes. And so that's what he did. And it was a frantic moment as everyone looking around, where's Sammy? Well, there he is, doing what he wanted to do, completely uninhibited. As kids grow, they learn that there are certain things that they shouldn't do, certain things that they shouldn't say. And in time, they learn that there are certain ways that they should not be. Mixed in with those lessons about how to be polite and respectful are countless lessons about how to fit into society. Those lessons include instruction in so many aspects of identity, like race and class, nationality, sexual orientation, ability, and gender identity, just to name a few. So I think about this song that some of you may know by Dar Williams. She's a contemporary singer-songwriter. She has a song called When I Was a Boy, and she's writing in that song about her own childhood. She says, when I was a boy, I scared the pants off my mom, climbed what I could climb upon, and I don't know how I survived. I guess I knew the tricks that all boys knew. And you can walk me home, she tells the man in the song, but I was a boy too. And the song goes on, and the man replies to her, when I was a girl, my mom and I, we always talked. And I picked flowers everywhere that I walked. And I could always cry. And now, even when I'm alone, I seldom do. And I have lost some kindness, but I was a girl too. The journey of becoming ourselves is the journey of remembering who we really are, who we truly are in our depth. It's the journey of claiming our greatest loves. It's the journey of finding our hidden wholeness and learning to live from that place. And it's the work of a lifetime. Because that's what I believe, I love that saying, that Jesus saying from the Gospel of Thomas that I shared with you earlier. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. And if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. It sounds like a puzzle and an obvious truth, both at the same time, at least to me. The theologian Elaine Pagels has done a lot of work with the Gnostic Gospels, and she says that one of the central teachings is the idea that when we know ourselves at a deep level, we also know God, because we discover that the divine is within us. The idea that there's a spark of the divine in each and every person is a beloved and historic teaching in the Unitarian Universalist tradition. We can see it so clearly in babies, that spark of the divine. And so we affirm their lives as original blessing. And then the babies grow into adults, and we learn to put on masks. The Quaker teacher Parker Palmer says that we do this in part because of other people's expectations, in part because of the socialization we receive growing up in our society. We put on masks in part because of social pressures, and in part because of our fear of stepping out of the molds that society has created. We know that society can be quite brutal toward those who defy expectations. Consider the violence inflicted against trans people, just as one example. It can be very dangerous for some people to be who they are. We're disabused of original giftedness in the first half of our lives, Parker Palmer says. And then if we're awake and aware and able to admit our loss, we spend the second half trying to recover and reclaim the gift we once possessed. One of the qualities we need most in the journey of living true to ourselves is courage. This is not the courage of heroes and heroines in high-risk dramas. This is the ordinary courage of ordinary people who dare to be themselves. To say that it's ordinary is not to negate the strength underlying this form of courage, but rather to emphasize that we all have this capacity. Parker Palmer says we find this courage when we come to understand that no punishment anyone might inflict on us could possibly be worse than the punishment we inflict on ourselves by conspiring in our own diminishment. I believe that this has to be true. If it wasn't true, why would any of us take the risk to be ourselves, especially those who have the most to lose? When we take the risk, Palmer says, we discover that the converse is also true. No reward that anyone can give us could possibly be greater than the reward that comes from living by our own best lights. This insight has transformational power. Believing in the blessing that comes when we are true to ourselves, we find the courage that it takes to pursue our own wholeness. But it gets even better. Believing in the blessing that comes when we're true to ourselves, we're poised to understand that what is true for us is also true for everyone else. With this understanding, we're better equipped to encourage others to take that leap too. And having encouraged them, perhaps we're more prepared to speak up when others try to force us or anyone else back into limited little boxes, safe, socially sanctioned rules. Wholeness can lead to more wholeness. I believe that's one way of understanding the phenomenal change that has happened for gay, lesbian, and bisexual people in this country in recent decades. Wholeness has led to more wholeness as individuals have come out and said, this is who I am, and been present in their communities and in their families. The society's changed. Wholeness has led to more wholeness. Now, it's not a perfect equation. Trans people have been out and proud leaders of the GLBT movement since the beginning, and yet justice and equality for trans folks is still elusive. It's not a perfect equation. But there's some truth to it. Wholeness can lead to more wholeness. And we can encourage that growth. And so I leave you with this affirmation. There's a spark of the divine in each and every human heart. May we let our little light shine. There's a spark of the divine in each and every human heart. Let their lights shine too. There's a spark of the divine in each and every human heart. May we do what we can to create communities capable of truly celebrating the glorious diversity of all our little lights. Amen, and blessed be. Yesterday, all of the religious education teachers and advisors met here at the church for their winter retreat, a chance for them to reflect on their roles as religious educators in this community and the work that they do with our children and youth. It's just one example of the many ways that so many people share their time, talent, and treasure, share of themselves to make this place the place that it is. I send you once again with the words from Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. But take courage, for deep down there's another truth. You are not alone. Go in peace.